Well, of course, our thoughts and prayers go out to 22-year-old independent police officer Blaze Madrid Evans, who succumbed to his injuries overnight and passed away late yesterday evening after he was shot by a suspect in Independence. The Independence Police Department put out a statement last night at about 10:40 saying, quote, "It is with heavy hearts that we announce that this evening Officer Blaze Madrid Evans succumbed to his injuries and passed away. No further information will be released this evening as we give the officer's family and his family in blue privacy in this difficult time. Any further info will be released tomorrow as it becomes available." So what happened, in case you are not totally caught up to speed on this story? Well, yesterday it came down that the Missouri Highway Patrol said a suspect is dead and an Independence police officer is hospitalized with serious injuries following a shooting. The shooting happened at East 23rd Street South and South Northern Boulevard at around 11:30. Sergeant Andy Bell with the Missouri Highway Patrol said Independence police received some type of tip that let them into a home in the neighborhood. When the two officers arrived at the house, investigators said a man armed with a handgun met them. The man shot one of the officers. The uninjured officer returned fire and hit the gunman. The shooter died from his injuries. And of course, when it comes to Officer Blaze Madrid Evans, 22 years old, as we mentioned, he began his career with the department at the Kansas City Regional Police Academy on January 4th, 2021, and he graduated 2 months and 8 days ago, on July 6th of 2021. That 22-year-old police officer is now dead. And from the big picture perspective, I think about this, from where we've been over the last 15, 16 months regarding law enforcement in not just Kansas City and across the Kansas City metro, but also in this country. And we've spent literally 16 months. Now things have maybe calmed down a hair because the news cycle moves so quickly. But we have spent the last 16 months treating, for the most part, every law enforcement officer like they are the second coming of Derek Chauvin, who of course is now in prison for murdering George Floyd. But we have taken one man and we have applied it to the 750,000 cops that wake up every day, put their lives on the line for you and for me, and treated them in media, on social media, in editorial boards, like they're nothing but dirt, and like, boy, if you don't watch out, who knows what these cops are going to do to you. All right, you better watch your back from these cops. No. It's been a false premise for going on 16 months now. It has resulted in, by the way, this country being less safe. There's no doubt about it. I mean, you have seen the last 18 months or so increases in homicides all over the country, most notably in major cities. All right, things are down a little bit year over year from the record levels of 2020, but they're still not in a good place compared to where they were 2-3 years ago. And the way that we have treated policing and police officers in general during this stretch has had deadly consequences, not just for law enforcement themselves, but also for the individuals that they can help protect if there is trust between law enforcement and communities that they are supposedly and required to help protect. If that can improve, then we can save lives. But if not, you're going to see, unfortunately, more of this. You're going to see, unfortunately, too many homicides taking place. And nobody wants to see that. I don't care where you're at politically. Nobody wants to see that. But at some point, we've got to admit that some of the rhetoric that comes out on this stuff is far from helpful. And in fact, it only hurts. That's one of the biggest problems here. It only hurts. So last night, KCTV 5 did some reporting on this, and Betsy Webster was out and was at the Independence Police Station. And here is part of her reporting on the Fraternal Order of Police's involvement in all of this and how it was going as of last night in Independence.
When an officer is critically wounded in the line of duty, like what happened here today to Officer Blaze Madrid Evans, the department dispatches its chaplains. But the area FOPs also dispatch their peer support staff.
While we're not trained to, you know, provide, you know, psychological services, they are trained to recognize people that are in crisis.
Kansas City FOP President Brad Lemon says at least 10 agencies sent peer support teams to Independence and beyond because the impact is broader than you might think.
For some people, this is going to bring up tragic moments in their own careers that they're going to remember. You know, for others that were there and that know this kid personally, this officer's family.
So there you go. That's just some of the reporting there from KCTV 5 as the Fraternal Order of Police for Kansas City, Brad Lemon, was being interviewed, even though, of course, it's Independence. But in moments like this and times like this, these departments all end up coming together, obviously, and they all are brothers as well. But to think that a 22-year-old who's got his entire life in front of him, who is just getting started in the police academy, it ties into that topic right now of for those of you, and I know there's not many of you in this audience, but I'm speaking more broadly. For those of you who, you know, have spent the last 16 months demonizing law enforcement, talking to, and that doesn't mean, I mean, how many times can we say it, right? If you have a bad cop, get him off the job. If you got a rogue cop, he should not be on the streets. No one advocates for bad cops being in positions of power. Or even being cops for that matter. Nobody advocates for it. But to take one incident, one person, or take an incredibly small number of incidents and people and apply it to a profession that employs 750,000 Americans all over this country who every single day wake up to keep you and I safe. To do that is one of the stupidest things we've done in modern history in this country. And by the way, media's played along with it, too. Local media and national media has played along with it, which is absolutely disgusting when you think about that. But for those of us who, like, appreciate our law enforcement and want to encourage more young people to get into that line of work, what are we doing to encourage that? How are we encouraging that? Well, we're not. I mean, it's kind of a rhetorical question right now. We're not. But this should be a reminder yesterday, this terribly tragic loss of a 22-year-old Independence police officer. This should be a reminder that people that get into this line of work understand that one day they can wake up, put on the uniform, and not come home. And the fact that people are doing that, and they're not getting paid a fortune to do it either. They're not. They're doing it. They're not getting paid a ton of money to do it. Yet we still need these people to function as a society, right? We need them. The fact that we would in any way look at that entire industry, not individual cases, not individual people, but look at that entire industry as somehow wrong for America, racist against Americans, or anything of that ilk, is the absolutely dumbest thing that we have done over the last year and a half. And that's saying something, by the way. That's really saying something. And yesterday should have been, and I hope today remains, a sobering reminder of what these individuals do for us to protect us, whether it's in Independence, Kansas City, or Overland Park. And when it comes to how we view the industry and how we talk about the industry, you got a bad cop, you want to talk poorly about him, you want to make sure that he or she gets off the streets, absolutely. When you want to paint a broad brush about an industry that's waking up, trying to keep you and I safe, take a hike. 5767710, the text line is 816-576-7710. As we mourn the loss this morning of 22-year-old Independence police officer Blaze Madrid Evans, died late last night. Pete Mundo on a Thursday morning with you right here on KCMO Talk Radio. You know, I crunched some numbers, too, here before the show that I want to share with you. I I added up over the last few years line of duty deaths for law enforcement in the wake of yesterday's death of the 22-year-old Independence police officer who was shot and killed. Officer Blaze Madrid Evans just finished up the academy in the last couple of months. And I was looking at a combination of line of duty deaths. And, you know, when they count line of duty deaths, they count things, and this is for law enforcement all over the country. They count things like 9/11 related illnesses. They counted like COVID last year. They count things like drowning. So I'm leaving all of that out. I put together the numbers for the last few years for line of duty deaths for assaults, gunfire, and vehicular assault. Because those are, you know, those are clearly somebody else attacking law enforcement, right? Like, I'm not going to count a boating accident. Obviously, that's a line of duty death, but for this part of the conversation, I left things like that out. So you go back to 2017. So 2017 to 2020, we had between 59 and 64 deaths of line of duty officers from things like assault, gunfire, and vehicular assault. This year in 2021, that number is already 60. And I don't know if that number includes Officer Blaze Madrid Evans. But we're not even three quarters of the way through the year. I mean, that means this number, if it paces at the same pace, is going to be, what, 75 to 80? When the number of line of duty deaths has been somewhere between, you know, the last few years, based on my quick number crunching here, you know, 55 to 65. That's a bad trend. It's a really bad trend. 5767710 is how you join us here. And the text line is 816-576-7710. Ken's in Independence. He's on KCMO. Hey, Ken, good morning.
Good morning. First off, prayers to the officer's family in the city of Independence for their loss of a man in blue. I respect every man and woman that takes the oath of obligation to protect and serve the citizens of the area that they live in. One of the problems I feel we're running into is pay cuts, benefit cuts, several other things that go into these young officers' careers. One thing that the city of Independence lost is lifetime benefits for their police officers. Mm-hmm. And nobody wants to go to work and put a uniform on, hardly, for $18 an hour to start and get shot at.
Yeah, I mean, you can literally, you can make $18 an hour at JCPenney's. I mean, I saw an advertisement on the side of the road for $18 an hour to stock the shelves at JCPenney. You're right.
Don't get me wrong. Budget cuts affect all this. Mm-hmm. But our law enforcement, and this is my and only my, the minimum starting pay for anybody that takes that oath of obligation to protect and serve should be $25 an hour. The minimum, plus lifetime benefits.
Yeah.
Again, my prayers go out to the family, and we have to move forward.
Yeah, I mean, there's a lot that can be done. But here's the thing, and thank you for the call, Ken. I think those are some excellent points. Whether it's $18 an hour, $25 an hour, whatever that number might be. I mean, I talk to law enforcement on a weekly basis around the Kansas City area, not just KCPD, but around the metro. And every one of them will tell you. So it's not unique to Kansas City. They'll say this job, the profession, is just not what it was 10, 15, 20, 25 years ago. It's just not. And that's not them bemoaning the fact that, you know, there's cell phones and there's accountability in ways that maybe there wasn't 25 years ago. That's not the point at all that they're trying to make, right? The point is simply when it comes to people seeing a cop and, you know, overwhelmingly having a positive feeling towards that individual, it's just not the case anymore. It's just not. And it's terribly sad empathetic that it's not the case anymore, but it's the environment that too many in this country have tried to help create. 5767710. Stu is in Rosedale on a Thursday. Hey, Stu, good morning.
Hey, Muggo. Yeah, it's not what it once was, but it's by design. There was a time, and by the way, we're losing police not just to line-of-duty deaths, but there's a tremendous attrition to quitting and taking early retirement. But it's part of a very insidious plan. Okay, there was a time when people went into law enforcement out of a tremendous sense of nobility and service and idealism. And most, the overwhelming majority, still do. But there is one of the insidious agendas of the left is the demoralization of our law enforcement and the military as well. And the purpose is to drive out all those noble, idealistic types. So the only ones left will be the misfits and the power trippers and the ones that, when they're given orders to unconstitutional orders to carry out, whether it's to enforce a mask mandate or to shut down a cafe in Blue Springs or to go door to door and disarm the very public that has supported them, they'll carry out those orders. This is, you know, you wonder where a tyrannical government gets its jackbooted thugs. That's where they get them. They're already there.
Yeah. Stu, I think you're absolutely right about that, where, you know, we've created an environment where the best and the most noble are not going to want to do this going forward. That's not an indictment of those in law enforcement today in this moment, but think a generation ahead. How are you going to get those people? And there's no doubt that overwhelmingly those people are still in law enforcement, but I'm thinking about recruitment going forward. How do you do it when this is the environment in a weird way that's been created? 5767710. News is coming up in 2 minutes. We are back in five right here on KCMO Talk Radio and the KCMO Talk Radio app.
Mundo in the morning on KCMO.
So, Ray's Cafe in Blue Springs, got an update for you there. We told you yesterday, by the way, you would have heard it first on this show, that the court hearing that was scheduled for yesterday morning was postponed. So I put that up on Twitter yesterday, or 2 days ago now, at about 10 o'clock at night is when I put that up. And no one else in local TV news, at least, reported it until about like lunchtime yesterday. So we were talking about it on the show. I'm not saying this is a place you got to be to get the latest information in Kansas City, but it kind of is, all right? You just kind of be here so that way you know what's going on. I mean, yesterday morning, local TV was still saying, yeah, the hearing's at 9:30 this morning. No, we knew here on Tuesday night that hearing was not happening on Wednesday morning because Ray's Cafe had requested a different judge in the case, John.
Crap, I thought I was clairvoyant. I just went down and put a lot of money on the Chiefs this season.
So oh, you did? Oh, that's okay, John.
I thought I was seeing the future, you know, and I was being clairvoyant.
Yeah. Well, so, you know.
It may cost me some money later.
It may, just a little
I'm
bit.
I guess I'm not so clairvoyant after all.
I can get down with that. I can get down with that. But, you know, I'm sitting here and I'm watching this Ray's Cafe story play out regarding, you know, not enforcing mask mandates in Blue Springs. And then the Jackson County Health Department tries to shut them down. They try to shut them down. And then last Friday, they say, hey, we're shutting you down. And if you open up, we can arrest you. So they were closed Saturday, Sunday, and Monday. They reopened up on Tuesday temporarily after the judge allowed that. And now they're still open as they await their next court hearing. But something interesting happened. And I told you this as well yesterday. Their GoFundMe shut down and money returned to all the people who had given them money. I started hearing from people on Tuesday saying, hey, I got my money back from the Ray's Cafe GoFundMe. And I'm like, well, that means that they shut down the GoFundMe page. That's what that means. GoFundMe reimbursed you the money that you donated, and that's it. And they were like, well, I didn't want that. I said, okay, well, let me do a little digging here, but that typically means GoFundMe shut down the page. So then all of a sudden the media yesterday got on this, and it did turn out that, yes, the page had been shut down by GoFundMe. And they had raised over $5,000 for Amanda Wolitz, the Raise Cafe owner, to help with her legal expenses. Then KCTV5's Angie Ricono did a little more digging on this. Kudos to her. And here's what she found out.
I pushed for an explanation of what term of service and never heard back. GoFundMe does have a provision that you can't fundraise for the violation of any law, regulation, industry requirement, or third-party guidelines. From a legal standpoint, the owner has been accused of violating a mandate, not a law, and she is contesting that in court. The organizer tells me it was more than $5,700 that has been returned to donors. Supporters question all of the other fundraisers that raise money day after day. We decided to check. There are other fundraisers for legal bills. Someone has a toxic marriage and wants a divorce lawyer. We found two area fundraisers for cats. One has a sore tooth. There's a fundraiser for a man going on a vacation. He's raised $3,500. He's not sure where he'll go for vacation, but he's open to suggestions. For whatever reason, the fundraiser for Raise has been removed. The man who organized the effort tells me, I just find it shocking when we look at the priorities that some companies have, like GoFundMe, that they are allowed to do this to someone who really needs the help versus a vacation. The single mom truly needs help.
There's Angie Ricono, KCTV5, doing some digging on why GoFundMe shut down the Raise Cafe legal fees fund. So, first off, how about the guy who wanted a free vacation? How about the guy raising money through GoFundMe for his own vacation? I mean, who is that chump? That's what and who's giving him money?
That guy's being honest. I think I'll give him $100.
If you are giving that guy money, I mean, just donate it to the federal government, all right? Seriously, what are you doing with your time? Some dude's like, I want to go on vacation, so I'm going to start a GoFundMe for myself?
Yeah, the bad news for that guy is the biggest donor is one of those princes from Nigeria. Contact you via email.
Hey, I need your credit card first before I donate.
Yeah, see, that's the way it works.
That's how it works. Yeah, yeah, that's exactly right.
I saw some people a couple years ago doing a GoFundMe to try to get to the Chiefs-Rams game in Mexico, the one that got switched back to L.A.
Yes.
And so, yeah, podcast guys. I mean, I'm one of them, so I can make fun of them. But
oh, jeez. Yeah. Come on. What are you doing? What are you doing? I mean, at least that's like, hey, I host a Chiefs podcast. I want to go to the game. But this guy's like, I want to sit in an island. Does someone want to pay for it? Like, who are you, buddy? Something tells me that might be one of our more regular callers, Steven and Alatha, trying to pull that off. I could see him trying to do that. Woo! Oh, man. Yeah. But in all seriousness, as Angie Ricono pointed out there, you've got an environment here where technically a law is not being broken, right? It's a mandate that is being violated. So while GoFundMe can say, under our terms, you can't do anything or raise any monies for something that is a violation of any law, regulation, industry requirement, or third-party guideline or agreement by which they are bound, that's kind of dubious. It's kind of dubious there, John.
I think maybe the play is to go on as just Amanda. Single mother losing job.
Oh, see? Brilliant.
Yeah.
Brilliant. People will know
encountering difficulties at employment.
Yeah, that's a great way to put it.
Yeah, I got to play up single mom.
Yeah, absolutely. I mean, GoFundMe can't do that. You know, they can't do anything about that. They'd have to support her to the fullest extent. Wow. Geez, John's got the workaround there. Now, I don't think this is some deep state deal or anything like that. My guess is that, you know, a couple of hacks, probably, you know, Kansas City Star employees, wouldn't shock me one bit, reached out to GoFundMe and they're like, this lady's trying to raise money for her legal fees because she won't require everybody to wear a mask into her place of business. Oh, she's killing people across the metro. And GoFundMe's like, okay, all right, let's take down the page. All right, we're good. We'll help.
What if she put a rainbow flag up on her door?
Oh, man. That is the answer to everything in 2021. You know, you put up that rainbow flag, You put up that BLM flag. You're gold. You're gold, baby. They can't touch you. You're a protected class now. In fact, they'll celebrate you. They'll put you on the front page of GoFundMe. GoFundMe will give you money. GoFundMe will go fund you. Dave in KC, what's up, Dave?
Hey, Pete. I just had a question. Didn't Kamala Harris promote a website, or I don't know if it was GoFundMe or whatever, to get all the rioters out of jail to post bail for these people?
That is very true. Yep, last summer she tweeted support for a bail fund for violent rioters in Minneapolis. Yes, that is an accurate assessment there, Dave.
Yeah, I think your lawyers should probably bring that up whenever they talk about this.
Yep, that's a very good point. Very, very. I'm glad you brought that up there, Dave. That's an excellent point. Now, I don't know if that was through GoFundMe in particular, but she certainly was raising money, looking to raise money on behalf of those folks. No doubt about it.
Yeah, I think it was the same spirit, right? Except now we got guys who make a little money off GoFundMe, but they have the king and the crown, so they make the rules. I don't get it.
Yeah. Dave, excellent point. Excellent point. You know, I mean, think about that, right? Kamala Harris was raising money last summer for bail funds to help people out who were arrested for violent actions during these supposed social justice protests. The current vice president was tweeting out that. I mean, that is absolute insanity. Yeah, here's a single mother in Blue Springs starting a GoFundMe to help out with some legal fees because she's not requiring everybody who walks in there to put on a mask. And her employees, who have, by the way, medical exemptions and are vaccinated, are not being required to wear a mask. And people are going bonkers over it and shutting down her GoFundMe and freaking out in Kansas City. 5767710, Tom and Sibley. Hey, Tom, good morning.
Yeah, Mundo, I was just thinking, it was laughable, the guy that wanted to go fund me for a vacation.
Yeah.
And I was thinking about a time I was driving, there was a homeless guy sitting on the corner, and he had a sign that said, "I'm not going to lie to you, I just want a beer." I don't know if he was broke or if he was married, but I had to stop and give him a couple bucks.
Yep. Okay. Thanks, Tom. You know, it's funny, not funny, but having used to work in New York, and I worked late hours when I worked there, I'd, you know, do the midnight shift, the 6 a.m. shift, walking through Midtown or downtown Manhattan, you certainly would see quite a few homeless folks. And once in a while, I'd give them a dollar here and there, depending on what kind of mood or spirit I was in. But I was under no illusion that, you know, as much as I would like to think that money was being used for food or whatever it might be, I mean, you know, you kind of had an idea of what it was going towards. So, yeah, I like someone that's not BSing you. I can appreciate someone who's not a BSer, no matter where you are in life. You know, we got too many BSers, that's for darn sure.
Yeah, my Carnegie Deli story in New York, if you remember, guy asked me for my, hey, money. I said, are you hungry?
Yeah,
I'm hungry. I said, well, hey, I'll take you in here and buy a sandwich. Now, I didn't know where I was, but it was right in front of Carnegie Deli. Right? Hey, he's like, I don't want nothing in there. And I said, no, you're not hungry then, right?
Yeah.
You know? No. And he was cussing me all the way down the street as I walked away. I went into Carnegie Deli 2 days later. It's like one sandwich feeds a family of six.
Guy could have eaten for a week.
He could have.
And he turned you down, John. He turned you down. Trying to bring that Midwestern niceness to the homeless in New York.
You try.
That's how you get treated. Oh, gosh. Never lived that one down. 5767710. Coming up next, we'll get to you. Also, an Oregon teacher says no to the American flag. Oh, yeah. Oh, yeah. Heroic stuff. We'll tell you that story coming up on KCMO. Predictable lawsuits coming down against the Kansas City Board of Police Commissioners and how the city operates its police department. And it's coming from familiar places. Good to be with you on a Thursday on KCMO Talk Radio. We're going to have Mayor Lucas bottom of this hour, as we do each and every Thursday morning. Do not miss that conversation here on KCMO Talk Radio. So, by the way, you just heard top of the hour on Fox News. They mentioned what has taken place here in Independence, which is the death overnight of the 22-year-old officer who was shot by a suspect on Wednesday. Blaze Madrid Evans, who just wrapped up at the academy 2.5 months ago, was shot by a suspect. He was in critical condition. And the Independence Police Department announced last night at about 10:30 that he had died from those injuries. The official statement from Independence Police, which is on my Twitter and Facebook page, it is with heavy hearts we announced this evening that Officer Blaze Madrid Evans succumbed to his injuries and passed away. No further information will be released this evening as we give the officer's family and his family in blue privacy in this difficult time. Any further information will be released tomorrow as it becomes available. So an absolutely tragic, tragic situation in Independence. And unfortunately, you know, someone said on the text line last hour, I'm surprised you didn't blame BLM. I'm surprised you didn't make it. The shooter was white. It doesn't matter. When I talk about Malcolm Johnson, the guy in Kansas City, Missouri, who resisted arrest at that BP gas station, had already been convicted of second-degree murder in his past. Then he resists arrest after allegedly being involved with a domestic violence situation. He ends up allegedly, as the story goes right now, firing a gun at a police officer. They return fire and kill him. I never referred to him as Black Man Malcolm Johnson. I referred to him as Malcolm Johnson. Like, that is not a part of this story. It's not a part of Malcolm Johnson's story, and it's not a part of this story involving the death of Blaze Madrid Evans. It's not. 33-year-old suspect in this case, who shot and killed Officer Madrid Evans, is Cody Harrison. I'm not going to call him white Cody Harrison. He's just Cody Harrison. He's a scumbag. And he's dead. And he killed the cop. That's who he is. No reason to make any of this about color. But that doesn't stop some people who pander some more. And Gwen Grant, mixing it up with the officer's name. Gwen Grant, who is the president of the Urban League of Greater Kansas City, well, she has filed a new lawsuit against Kansas City police and other officials in a fight over how the city's police force is funded. She has filed the petition in an effort to prevent the Board of Police Commissioners from compelling Kansas City to provide them with $42 million of the police department's $239 million budget. Now, that's interesting because I thought we were told that the $42 million is going right back into the police department, right? I mean, that's what we're told. No, stop. It's going right back to the department. Everything's going to be fine. Well, now you've got the head of the Urban League, who, by the way, applauded the mayor and those who went ahead with this $42 million stunt back in May on that same day ordinance. She applauded them for that. Now she's filing a petition to prevent the Board of Police Commissioners from compelling Kansas City to provide them $42 million of that $239 million budget. So which one is it? Is it going back into the police department, as we've been told for the last few weeks was always going to be the case? I mean, it's for raises and things like that. This is the most bizarre way to give law and order police officers a raise. You know, take it out and then put it back in and say that's for raises or something like that. I mean, you want to talk about don't look over here, look over there. I mean, that's the definition of it with how this has played out. In the lawsuit, Grant's attorneys also took aim at the police board structure, saying it disproportionately deprives African-Americans of control over the officers who serve their communities. They said it was implemented and maintained for a discriminatory purpose. So her allegation is that the Board of Police Commissioners system is racist. That is basically what I'm getting out of this. As an African-American woman who lives in Kansas City, Grant said the police board's demand for city funding violates the Missouri Hancock Amendment, which is a citizens' initiative that limits state revenues and local taxes. The police department said it does not comment on pending civil litigation to ensure fairness for all sides involved. Grant, an outspoken critic of Police Chief Rick Smith, was among civil rights leaders who earlier this year asked the U.S. Department of Justice to investigate the Kansas City police, pointing to a disturbing pattern of violent policing that targets minorities. Do you want to have a real conversation about this? Do you? You want to talk? You want to have a conversation about who is violently targeting minorities? Do you? Do you want to do it? We can do it. Look back on the daily homicide analysis that KCPD puts out every day. They update it every day. Let's go back to 2021. All right? 2020, excuse me. In 2020, which was a record-setting year of homicides in Kansas City, Missouri, 176 people killed. I mean, just tragic. Absolutely tragic. Of those 176, 108 were black males. 108. From four-year-old legend Taliaferro to, obviously a large swath of people between the ages of 17 and 34. Just 108 of these victims of homicide were black men. And of the suspects involved, 115 of them were black men. It just feels to me like Gwen Grant's push pointing to disturbing patterns of violence that targets minorities seems like it's misplaced in the hands of police officers. It just feels like that energy is misplaced. Call me crazy, and maybe it's taboo to say it, but boy, those are the numbers. 5767710. The text line is 816-576-7710. Bill is on KCMO. Hey, Bill, good morning.
Good morning. Good morning. How are you doing?
All right.
The countdown is on for the 2024 NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, live from Detroit, and you can attend in person for free.
Welcome to the NFL Draft.
See the next NFL stars and experience the ultimate NFL fan festival, featuring live concerts, interactive games, player autographs, and more. The NFL Draft, presented by Bud Light, April 25th through 27th. Visit NFL.com/draft access to register for free entry today.
Hi, Bill, what's going on?
Oh, you know, just listening to you guys this morning, reading all the Facebook posts, hearing from it from all our surrounding agencies. It's a tragedy that what's happened so far. I mean, it's the local justice system, it's the government, it's the society we live in today that's failed. There's two people dead now because of the justice system that we're in.
What do you mean? Okay. So what else, Bill?
Well, the guy that had killed our officer yesterday, he was out on an RR bond. It should never been out.
Yeah, there's a lot of critiquing, Bill. There's a lot of critiquing of Gene Peters Baker, the Jackson County prosecutor, on this, because this guy had a long, long rap sheet that shot and killed this 22-year-old officer in Independence. That is very much true, and that should not be overlooked in this. Long rap sheet, and when you got a soft-on-crime prosecutor, this is what you get.
It's true. Yeah. I mean, but that's what we face every day. I mean,
this law. Are you in law enforcement?
Yes, sir. Active, current, in the area.
In the area. Police officer?
Yes, sir.
Wow. Well, Bill, first off, thank you to you and all your brothers and sisters in blue, and especially on a day like this, because I know it hits extra hard. Even though you're not maybe an Independence, it hits extra hard on a day like today, I'm sure.
Yeah, it does. I mean, it's unfortunate. We deal with this every day. Every call could be any of our lives.
Yeah, it's so true.
Part of this is more of just being... We don't see any actual prosecution. You know, we can come out, we clean up streets, but it never goes anywhere. Well, you can be out in 8 hours stealing cars.
Mm-hmm.
You know, beat your wife 3 times before it's a felony. And you know, it's ridiculous.
Mm-hmm.
You know, until we start fixing the problem, the cops are the ones. It's the easy ones to blame for why the crime's so bad. But really, there's no punishment in the end.
Yeah. Hey, Bill, thanks for all you do every day. We appreciate the call.
Thank you.
I'm going to continue and follow up on something Bill just said that gets totally lost in this conversation about who's to blame for crime, outside of obviously the criminals, which I know is taboo to say. I can't blame the criminals. Somebody else's fault. I know it's taboo to say, but Bill's on to something there. I'll build on that. We'll talk to you at 576-7710. We got the mayor, bottom of the hour, here on KCMO Talk Radio. You know, we just heard from Bill, who was and is a law enforcement officer somewhere in the metro. I understand he doesn't want to mention where. But he brought up some excellent points in terms of the role that cops play in crime prevention, right? The role that cops play in crime prevention is, frankly, a pretty simple one. They try to arrest people when they're doing bad things, when they're breaking the law. Yeah, you know, they can prevent it, too, by having a presence in the communities that they work in, right? They can be a deterrent. But outside of that, I mean, they kind of arrest the bad guys. And then the whole thing's out of their hands. And then you've got the, you know, court system and prosecutors and everybody else involved and attorneys. And that's kind of it. That's all they do. And we foolishly always look at this through a simple prism of somehow the police are supposed to prevent crimes. Then God forbid they do happen. They then arrest people. And then on top of that, they're supposed to be the ones who, I guess, force bad guys to be in prison for a long time. Like, I guess they're in charge of that too. I mean, if you listen to the conversation from some of these people, that's what they believe. They couldn't be more wrong, but it's genuinely what they believe. And I will do more of this at the top of the hour, just after 8 o'clock on KCMO Talk Radio, because yeah, this scumbag who shot and killed this 22-year-old Independence police officer yesterday. Strong argument to make she should have been nowhere near the streets. Shouldn't have been a free man. Say hi to Brad. He's in Kansas City on KCMO. What's up, Brad? Good morning.
Good morning, Pete. First off, I want to say my hat's off to people like Bill, the men and women who go out every day to protect us. They're job is to protect and serve, and every single one of them that I've come across comes across professionally like that. You were talking earlier.
Well, Bill, you know, I'm glad you said that, Brad. There's a lot of them that listen to this show and listen to this station, and there's too many media outlets in this town that want to pull them down and drag them down, so they like hearing from the folks like you, so that's very nice of you.
It's genuine. You were talking earlier about the flags out front, and I have two flags out in front of my house. The American flag, the stars and stripes, and the other one is the thin blue line flag, and it's flying at half staff today. It's a 22-year-old young man loses his life because you have politicians that don't keep the criminals in jail. So hats off to all the men and women who help keep us all safe.
Well said there, Brad. Well said. That's very nice of you. Very nice of you. And I could not agree more. Could not agree more. We've got Mayor Lucas coming up in 10 minutes here on KCMO Talk Radio. Don't miss that. On a lighter note, can I give you an update here on the Alexandria Ocasio-Cortez dress fiasco? So she wore that ridiculous dress to the Met Gala that says Tax the Rich, which is a $30,000 per ticket event that she somehow got into, and she wore a dress that says Tax the Rich, which is a celebration of richness, which, by the way, is used by rich people to lessen the amount of taxes they pay to the federal government. I mean, that's what the event is. That's what the event is. They lessen their tax burden out of it. They're paying the government less money. And, I mean, she shows up with a Tax the Rich thing on the back of her dress. If you haven't seen it, it's up on my Twitter page at Pete Mundo and Facebook as well. You can see it there if you haven't seen the ridiculous dress. But how about this? So she appears at this Met Gala, and some more photos are starting to appear. And what's fascinating to me is that none of the elites who were attending this event had masks on. Not a single one. You know who did? all the help. Yeah, the photographers, the waiters, the waitresses, the people going around with the appetizers and the hors d'oeuvres on the platters and things like that. They all had their masks on. The serfs had their masks on, you see? But the AOCs of the world did not. The supposed working class AOC, as she called herself this week, did not have her mask on. I don't know. I find that awfully hypocritical and awfully ironic as well, that the supposed working class AOC is not out there, you know, with her mask on while the people are, the little folks are. Because, you know, they're the COVID spreaders anyway. We don't spread COVID, you see. I mean, we're part of the elite. We don't spread it.
Sophisticated crowd.
Yeah, oh, that's right. That's right. Sophisticated crowd, John. Sophisticated crowd. So AOC, by the way, is trying to defend her going to this $35,000 or $30,000 per ticket soiree by saying she went there to prove a point with her dress. I mean, so let me get this straight. You went to the event with some of the richest people in the world with a dress that said tax the rich on it to prove a point to those rich people.
She's a real beauty.
I don't know about you, but that doesn't make a whole lot of sense to me. All right, I'm not buying that one. But I guess whatever makes you sleep at night, you know, whatever makes you sleep at night, I guess you can go ahead with that. And by the way, in addition to what she was wearing $450 earrings, $600 shoes, and a custom-made handbag bearing a strong resemblance to a bag that retails for around $1,000. Just a working stiff AOC.
She was being ironic, maybe?
Yeah, just a little bit.
Okay.
Coming up next, Mayor Quentin Lucas will join us. Boy, we got a lot to talk about with him on KCMO. I understand some of you on the text line, you know, get frustrated with things, but if you think I'm going to drop the interview with the mayor, you could not be more wrong. I'm sorry. I know some of you may not appreciate it or may get too frustrated, and that's fine. That's your prerogative. But, I give credit to people, even when I vehemently disagree with them on fill-in-the-blank topic, when people are willing to converse with others that they disagree with, assuming they're willing to do it in a respectful manner, we need to do more of that in this country, not less, okay? We need to do more, not less. So I'm sorry, but as long as the mayor is willing to do this show, we're going to have him on every week. And even if, you know, I don't agree with what's being said and we have disagreements on fill-in-the-blank issue, we're still going to have them. I think it's important to have them. So I don't know what to tell you guys right now, but we're going to keep doing that. And I think it's important to do.
I've been doing this a long time, and I understand the fickle nature of the audience, because if we didn't do it, then it would be, hey, he's on 103 and he's on your competitor. How come you don't have him on?
Exactly.
You know, so
exactly.
Damned if you do and damned if you don't.
That's exactly right. That's exactly right. Well said there, John. That's a good way to put it. All right. You remember that band Five for Fighting? I mean, they were a throwback when I saw this story yesterday. They were
you're getting into my area here.
Now we're going back. Now this is 15, 20 years ago, which to John feels like last week.
Here's a band named after the hockey penalty, Five for Fighting. Seriously.
That's
from Canada.
That's a good one, John.
100 years on KCMO.
Wait, they're actually named after...
Yeah.
Oh, really?
Yeah, Canadian guys. So they took Five for Fighting. You're like, that's a weird name. No, that's what they call out on the penalty when the refs, you know.
Oh.
You get 2 minutes for misconduct. Five for Fighting.
Oh, okay.
Bam.
That's oh, wow. Jeez, look at John bringing the insight into the show here. Jeez. All right, so this was one of their hits.
Long enough. Yeah. Yeah.
This was one of their hits from like 15, 20 years ago. You probably remember this, right? We'll let it roll for 20 seconds.
I'm just out to find.
You'd think they'd be a little more rock.
The better part of me. I'm more than a bird. I'm more than a plane. I'm more than some
pretty face beside a train. All right, so this was like 2003 that song came out.
Yeah, and somewhere a guy named Ed Sheeran's going, hey, I could do that.
All right, so let's play for you. They had this song that they just dropped this week, and they basically blast the Biden administration for its handling of Afghanistan and the withdrawal of it. I mean, by the way, they're not going to a Hollywood cocktail party anytime soon. Let's roll this. Listen closely to the lyrics. Five for Fighting's new hit, it is called Blood on My Hands. And they just showed up after 15 years and wrote a song ripping Joe Biden. Welcome back, boys.
Got blood on my hands. Got blood on my hands. And I don't understand what's happening? There's blood on these hands, and still Americans left to the Taliban.
There it is, Five for Fighting's new song that their lead singer, John Andrasik, wrote after the withdrawal from Afghanistan and the 13 U.S. service members were killed outside of Kabul airport. And by the way, they've got a long history of supporting U.S. soldiers. They've given away five volumes of a compilation titled CD for the Troops to Armed Forces. More than a million copies have been distributed to U.S. soldiers. So kudos to those guys. All right. Kudos to those guys. News is 1 minute away. We're back in 4 minutes. Also got our first $25,000 workday payday keyword coming up next. Yeah, and those facts include the fact that Jackson County remains incredibly incompetent in the prosecutor's office, and it arguably resulted in two people getting killed as a result yesterday. Like, we're talking life or death here, guys. And I'm not using that as a cliche, by the way. We are legitimately talking life and death when you discuss the issue of incompetent prosecutors who are soft on crime. And we have one here in Gene Peters Baker in Jackson County. And I felt very strongly that this was the most important local race that we had in the Kansas City area in 2020. Like, yes, the federal races, Trump, the Biden, the Senate race in Kansas, the Amanda Atkins, Sharice Davids race, like all that stuff was important, right? But I always felt that this prosecutor's race in Jackson County was literally on a local level, life or death. Because you had somebody in that prosecutor's office who was, by the way, protected by the Kansas City Star. I mean, they carry her water every single chance they can. They never criticize her. The guy that is her comms person, her communications person, used to work at the Kansas City Star. There's a backdoor relationship there. They carry all of her water. It's got to get a little heavy for the folks at the Star, especially the editorial board, to carry Gene Peters Baker's water every day, but they managed to do it. You know, it's the one workout some of those folks probably get on a weekly basis, but they do it. And now you have a situation where yesterday a 22-year-old Independence police officer was killed. He died last night. Officer Blaze Madrid Evans succumbed to his injuries and passed away. This came out from the Independence Police Department at about 10 o'clock last night. He was shot by 33-year-old Cody Levy Harrison of Gladstone. And here's the story. Tony's Kansas City is the only one that I've seen write about this. The long, long rap sheet that this guy has. Most recently charged with second-degree felony burglary and stealing in Jackson County. He was released on his own recognizance on August 30th. He was scheduled to appear in court for a preliminary hearing on September 13th, just 2 days prior to the shooting, but the hearing was continued. I have not seen anybody else write extensively about this. But what do we have now? We've got a dead police officer, 22-year-old kid, who was on the job for all of 2.5 to 3 months. And you've got the suspect, of course, who was shot and killed. And you've got an entire community of Independence police officers who are mourning right now. You've got family who is mourning right now. You've got law enforcement all over this metro reaching out to Independence mourning right now. Now, there's no guarantee, to be very clear. I don't want to be unfair here. There's no guarantee that this was avoidable. But when you look at what Jean Peters Baker's record is on these things, she continues to slap people on the wrist. Time and time again, she does it in Jackson County. You know, it's interesting. Yesterday, a list came out from Money.com, and it listed the top 50 places in America to live. And Overland Park actually came in at number 7. And someone said to me, they wrote back, I put it up on Twitter, and someone wrote back to me and they said, yeah, Lee Summit would be in that list as well if they didn't have Jean Peters Baker as the prosecutor for the county. And I said, well, maybe. And that'd be true. But that gets back to, and it ties in the whole idea of who is responsible for increased crime across America, especially in more urban environments. I mean, obviously the criminals, number one. But then number two is soft on crime prosecutors who do not prosecute. It's like the finger always gets pointed at cops, by the way, which is so absurd to me. Cops, for the most part, they react to crime, right? They arrest people. After they arrest people, like, that's it. Then they go out and they arrest somebody else. That's what they do. And they're the ones putting their lives on the line every single day. But they get them into the system, and then what happens from there is up to the prosecutors and the attorneys and everybody else involved. But that's where their job ends, right? And maybe there's community policing that, of course, is in a perfect world part of their job, where they're deterrents in communities. But it's kind of hard to do when you are hemorrhaging police officers left and right like they are in places like Kansas City, Missouri. It's a difficult thing to do. But that's it. They wipe their hands clean and it's game over. Then you've got to have the people in the system actually prosecute these folks and not slap them on the wrist and not give, you know, not saying that someone who's busted with a dime bag of weed should be spending 10 years in prison. That's ridiculous. But when you've got people who are committing felonies that have rap sheets already, then you've got to do something about that. And you've got to stop giving people the benefit of the doubt. And too many of these prosecutors are doing it in the name of nonsensical social justice. Now, to be clear, this suspect, Cody Harrison, is a white guy, but that's neither here nor there as far as I'm concerned. I mean, when I started off the show talking about it this morning, it was like, well, I'm surprised you didn't say he was carrying a BLM flag. And why don't you say that he was white? I don't care what color he was. I don't care when I talk about a black suspect or a white suspect. Unless you know that race has something to do with what happened in the way things unfolded, then it's neither here nor there. It doesn't matter. The race is irrelevant. Whether it's Cody Harrison, scumbag who's now dead after shooting a 22-year-old cop yesterday in Independence, or it's Malcolm Johnson in Kansas City, Missouri, who shot at police, allegedly. And then they fired back and killed him. One was white, one was black. It doesn't much matter to me what color they are. They were both black, both white, or they both were orange like someone else.
Such a nice man.
I mean, it doesn't matter to me what color they are. It's got nothing to do with it. It's got to do with their actions, with what they've done. And with the fact is, and the reality is, as much as we want to talk about how, oh, if we just had this program in place, maybe Cody would have not done this. Maybe he would have been on the right track. And, oh, if we just had another government option for him. No, some people do not deserve to be functioning members of society. All right? They just don't. It's not taboo to say that. It's not racist to say that. It's not anything, because I don't care what color you are. I don't care what one of the 15 genders you want to identify as. If you prove that you're not worthy of being a part of a functioning society, then the society has to do something about that. The way that the justice, the social justice phrase and movement gets spun is so back-ass words in so many ways. You know what's justice to me? That a 22-year-old cop should get to go to work, and while he knows he's putting his life on the line every day, because that's what these brave men and women do every day for us, he shouldn't have to worry, and nobody should have to worry, about someone who's got a long rap sheet being out there unnecessarily on the streets, possibly able to commit even more crimes because of incompetency in the prosecutor's office. That's something that even our law enforcement officers who risk their lives every day should be able to do and be able to say about what they're going to work and handling every single day. And in Jackson County, they can't do that. They are not able to do that. And it's sad. It's infuriating. It's disgraceful. It's all of that wrapped in the one. And there's one person and there is one office to blame. And that is the office of Gene Peters Baker. So I don't want to hear from the Kansas City Star editorial board who's going to write some, you know, crap, I'm sure, in the next few days about, oh, boy, you know, Mike Parson's COVID policies are getting people killed. He just wants people to drop dead on the streets from COVID. As they literally defend and carry the water of a prosecutor who is the softest on crime in the entire Kansas City metro, whose decisions have far more likely led to the death of a police officer than anything that Mike Parson has done or not done on COVID. Spare me your virtue signaling. Spare me. 576-7710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. I want to welcome you into the conversation here. It's 815 on a Thursday morning on KCMO Talk Radio. And, of course, don't forget to download that KCMO Talk Radio app. Yeah, good points on the text line here on Gene Peters Baker. She's too busy going after the cops to worry about the criminals. Sad but true. Sad but true. I mean, that's why, remember, in the Malcolm Johnson case, he's the guy who resisted arrest at the BP gas station, was, I guess, alleged to have been involved with a domestic assault. He had a rap sheet as well. He had been in prison already for second-degree murder. They try to arrest him. He resists arrest. Fight breaks out. He allegedly shoots at a cop, hits a cop, was, I guess, minor in terms of injuries. They fire back. They kill him. The Missouri Highway Patrol investigated that case, and they then gave it to the Jackson County Prosecutor's Office like 3 months ago. And maybe it was more like 2 months ago. Gene Peters Baker sat on that thing for weeks and then finally basically removed herself from the case. Wants somebody independent to look at it. Why do you think that is? Well, because she can't take out a cop over it. So she's going to hand it off to somebody else because she knows the evidence is not there to charge a Kansas City, Missouri police officer with a crime. So she's passing the buck. If she could have, in that Malcolm Johnson shooting, if she could have charged a cop with fill in the blank, I don't know, murder, manslaughter, whatever it might be, she would have done that in the heartbeat. She would have had a press conference on the steps of the courthouse. She would have invited all the media to lick her boots. And, oh, my, I mean, she would have been on the nightly news. She would have taken pride in that. I'm taking down the bad cops. She would have loved every second of it. And she sat on it for weeks and then passed it off. Because she can't look like the social justice hero and warrior that she perceives herself to be. And in the meantime, you've got 22-year-old cops losing their lives months onto the job. 5767710. Our text line is 816-576-7710. And it is always good to have you guys on KCMO Talk Radio. It's been a sobering morning, unfortunately, because of the death of the 22-year-old Independence police officer last night. Obviously, it's been a big topic of discussion for us as well here on KCMO Talk Radio. And that discussion will continue with Mike in Kansas City. You're up, Mike. Go ahead.
Yeah, you have to kind of look at the bigger picture here. The woke left, Gene Peters Baker, in that they look upon the population in general as sheep. And that when there's an issue, crime, whatever, it's a problem with the shepherd, not the sheep. They don't look at people as individuals. And it's really clear in some of the things, you know, that she's putting these people out, criminals, deferring or dismissing gun charges on felons, things like that, that, you know, in her mind, the problem isn't with the sheep. The problem is with the shepherds, in this case, the police, the establishment, bigoted white society. And if you look at it in that regard, everything that she does, and in fact the woke left does, seems to make sense, including their contributions to capitalist organizations like Black Lives Matter. Mm-hmm. Now, don't forget, Black Lives Matter is a vehicle to make their founders wealthy. One of their founders has, what, six houses now?
I think it's only five. You know, don't overshoot it. I think it's only five homes, you know?
Okay, but the idea is they're going at a market, and they don't see people as individuals.
Yeah.
And when you look at it in that context, all this makes perfect sense. And again, Gene Peters Baker is probably responsible for more dead young men than probably the Ku Klux Klan in Missouri was in their entire history, because she's letting people out that go out and kill people.
Yeah. You know, you go from a good point and they just get stupid. There's no way to know what that number is, Mike. You know, let's keep it on the tracks in the lane, you know. Gosh, you can get it's so disappointing when someone makes like 55 seconds of good points and then gets really stupid in the last five. I mean, I have no idea what that number is, but that's all conjecture. There's no way of knowing for sure. So there's no point in even having that conversation. But to Mike's point, there's no doubt about it that Gene Peters Baker and a soft on crime approach, whether it's in Kansas City or whether it's in St. Louis, it doesn't much matter. Kim Gardner, of course, is the prosecutor over there, who is known across the country as soft on crime, funded by George Soros. That's not a talking point. That is accurate. These people are not helping keep the community safe. They're just not. And they're not working in the best interests of people who want to live in safe communities. And it's amazing because they call themselves social justice heroes and warriors, yet the crimes are the worst, obviously, in some of these overwhelming minority communities. Right? Like, that's the irony of all this. They view themselves as heroes to people who need them to lift up communities. Oftentimes, poorer communities of color. And they do anything but by letting criminals continue to terrorize some of these communities. Doesn't matter if it's Independence, if it's Kansas City, Missouri, if it's Blue Springs, it doesn't matter. They are menaces to society is what they are. And they're not helping the cause. And that's why I thought that this prosecutor's race was so vitally important in Jackson County. And it got attention, but it didn't get the attention that I thought it should, because mostly a lot of people just didn't give it the time of day. They didn't follow this race like they should have. I get we're all obsessed with Trump and Biden and Roger Marshall in Kansas and, you know, Governor Parson in Missouri and, you know, Sharice Davids and everything else. But man, I mean, these, what have we learned over the past year? These local races, whether it's school boards, city councils, county commissioners, NES prosecutors, play arguably a bigger role in your day-to-day lives and the well-being of your family than whoever's in the White House. That's not downplaying the White House. But these people that are deciding on masking your three-year-olds in school and what your property taxes are going to be and whether or not your business can be open for business and whether or not criminals are going to be roaming the streets because you got a soft-time crime prosecutor, that impacts your well-being and your livelihood every single day, oftentimes more than whoever the goober is in the White House. That's just the reality. 5767710. News is coming up in 2 minutes, and then we're back in a few with the worst COVID take of all time. I mean, that's saying something. And I'll play you the audio coming up next. Coming up here in a couple of minutes, I'm going to play for you the worst COVID take I've heard in 18 months. And you're going to think that this is like satire or bad comedy, but no, it's real life. It aired on national TV last night, so don't miss it. Coming up here on KCMO Talk Radio, just after 8:30, by the way, as we mourn the loss of the Independence police officer, 22 years old. Officer Blaze Madrid Evans, killed by a 33-year-old man who is now dead himself, Cody Levy Harrison, who had a long, long rap sheet, and Gene Peters Baker continued to slap him around on the wrist. Dan and Liberty, go ahead, Dan.
Yes, love your show, Pete. Anyway, Gene Peter Baker is doing exactly what the Democrat Party wants her to do. She is out to prove that local police don't work and we need a national police army thing instead.
Well, here's...
And she doesn't care
yeah.
who dies in the process.
I'll tell you what. Thank you, Dan. I'll tell you what. I don't know... I don't know if that's the short-term thinking by Jean Peters Baker in her day-to-day. Do I believe that there are folks who want a national police force, a federal police force, instead of local police forces? Absolutely. Absolutely. And then Joe Biden can send them through, you know, equity training and how to be woke on the streets and everything else. I mean, they can absolutely do that.
Come on, man.
No, I seriously, I think that that is something that is a long-term play. Do I think Jean Peters Baker does her job every day thinking about failing at her job to create a national police force? I do not. I just think she's wildly incompetent and thinks that she's somehow a social justice hero by slapping criminals on the wrist or something like that. Because, well, they're victims themselves, you know? I mean, yeah, they're tough upbringing, whatever it might be, fill in the blank. They've had a couple of roadblocks in life, so... he got to give second, third, fourth, 15th chances here. I think that's it from the micro level in terms of how someone like Jean Peters Baker operates and how she views herself in her position. Is there a big picture here to what Dan said about a national police force? Yes, there is. By the way, quick programming notes. I will be on with Nick Haynes and the Kansas City PBS crew this weekend, Friday night on Kansas City PBS, formerly KCPT. First time I've been on there since the little kerfuffle with Mr. Dave Helling over my kerfuffle. Vaccination status, which he decided to ask me on the air, which was a way to get around the fact that he made a point that was not based in science, which pissed me off at the time. So
stand
I'm back.
By while I try to shame you.
Yeah, yeah. So I'm back. I'm back. I'm back on the show. And by the way,
and
as
if you
I
miss it Friday.
Sunday. Mm-hmm. Yes, Sunday morning they replay it. So I'll be Friday night at 7 and then Sunday morning, I believe that's 11. I'm not totally sure on the Sunday airing. But anyway, that came 3 weeks before I ended up and was planning, as always, to get the vaccine. But shame on you. You hadn't gotten it yet. Wasn't sufficient for some people. Anyway, speaking of COVID, let's get to the worst COVID take that you'll ever hear. Joy Reid, MSNBC, absolute lunatic. She goes on her show last night And she said a couple of really ridiculous things. I got two of them for you here. So it's a total of, I've got two clips. One is 20 seconds, one is 53 seconds. I know this is going to hurt your ears to hear Joy Reid on MSNBC. So do you want the longer clip first or do you want the shorter clip first, John? Which one do you want to hear first, 53 seconds or 22 seconds?
Well, I usually like the tougher things first. We'll get through the 53.
All right. That's what I figured. Yeah. I thought that was the play because then the 22 will fly by. So here's 53 seconds of Joy Reid saying Republicans have a thirst for COVID.
So Republicans, your thirst for COVID is why you lost. Nobody likes your policies that threaten our safety and our kids. You may want COVID. You may want to ingest horse dewormer and attend far too many funerals, but we don't. And instead of just saying that or tweeting that or fighting about that, California voted that. It is perhaps the first real, tangible proof that your creepy little COVID-loving death cult ways are not going to work for you at the ballot box next year. In fact, it's political suicide. And also apparently talk radio suicide because your brilliant little COVID plan is killing your right-wing hosts. The majority of us Americans want things like, I don't know, better infrastructure, good schools, gun reforms, jobs, and the right to vote. You know what else we want? We want to live, not die from COVID.
Okay. Coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo-coo. Crazy person alert. Crazy person alert. Joy Reid, MSNBC. So some of those accusations. Republicans have a thirst for COVID. They want to threaten the safety of their own kids. Apparently, we like attending funerals. Big fan of the funeral brunches. They're part of a COVID-loving death cult. And we apparently don't like being alive. Well, if I had to listen to too much of her show, that may be true, at least that last part. But that's quite an accusation from an MSNBC host, Joy Reid. That's pretty wild stuff, is it not? She said literally to millions of people on her show last night. Now, what was she referring to? She was talking about the California recall, where Gavin Newsom beat Larry Elder. Or it didn't beat Larry Elder one-on-one, but he held off a recall election. And had he lost the recall, Larry Elder, talk show host out in California, would have ended up being governor, conservative guy. And it's so weird how Democrats are using the fact that Gavin Newsom did not get recalled in like deep blue communist California as somehow like something to celebrate, or that somehow the majority of the American people like far left policies because California did not recall its governor. California is not a bellwether for anything else in the country. It's just not. It's complete lunacy to think that. 5767710. Now, here we go with the 22-second Joy Reid gem.
Jason, where people wanted to recall Newsom is where there's the most COVID. So they're like, give us more. Inject it in us. Is there a way that we can drink it in a Kool-Aid cup? Because we want it. And we want it bad. And we want this man to get out of our way. We want our COVID. It's insane.
They want their COVID. They want.
Imagine being that dumb. Like, does she not understand? The whole point is that these lockdowns in California and anywhere else did not prevent COVID. And that the people that implemented these lockdowns, like Gavin Newsom, the California governor, did not even listen to their own COVID rules. He went out to dinner at fancy restaurants and got caught red-handed. He sent his kids to private schools last year. The point is that these lockdowns do not work. They never did work. They crushed businesses, and the people that implemented them did not even live by their own rules. Is the MSNBC viewer really dumb enough to buy that from Joy Reid? I'm yes. Genuinely okay. All right.
Can I say it?
Yeah, sure. Yes. I guess yes is the answer. But wow. I trust me, I'm not watching that show. I found the clips on Twitter last night, but I thought to myself, holy cow, this is real, isn't it? This is like, she actually said this. And this is someone who's like got an audience of millions on cable news. Scary, scary stuff. But that's got to be the hands down worst COVID take I've ever heard. Ever heard. Wow. I mean, geez, even...
Show some R-E-S-P-I-C-T.
I'm sorry, Al. I can't do it, bud. Sorry.
The Rolling Stone Music Now podcast gets inside the biggest stories with Rolling Stone senior writer Brian Hyatt.
Now here is my conversation with Jacob Knoll. Your story is an amazing one, and obviously you lost your dad when you're only 1 year old.
It was definitely a screwy way to grow up. I think that a lot of people never heard of who I am, and then they see me join this band, and they must think this kid must have just handed everything, or nepotism kid. It's a gift that I have an opportunity to sing in such a big band like my father and my uncle's band, Sublime.
Rolling Stone Music Now, wherever you listen.